looking at the rising billions, disrupting tradition.
Always be closing.
Gaining exponential wisdom from street smart strategies.
I dream the kind of dreams that other people said would not be possible.
Free your mind. Nothing happens till something moves.
I'm a big fan of going all in on your strengths.
Create your blue ocean. Innovation and collaboration with competition.
Do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life? Or do you want to come with me and change the world?
Creating uncontested market space.
I worry that people don't tap into their strengths.
Wealth creation and a new economy entrepreneur.
There is a very thin dividing line between success and failure.
Witnessing unprecedented technology.
You can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the Think Bold, Be Bold Show with Christopher Gumby and Alan Witch.
Hi, it's Christopher Cumby with Think Bold, Be Bold, back here in the saddle with my co-host, Alan Witch, my awesomest co-host. Is that even a word, Alan?
It is now.
It is now. How are you, my brother?
Good. I'm doing great. That's our first official word for 2017.
I love it. So Alan, how, we're coming off the holiday hangover and, you know, obviously, it's a great time of year getting together with family and, you know, probably having some spirits and, you know, also just interacting and feeling good all around for, you know, I think the most part. Sometimes it's stressful for others and, you know, certainly there's some people that are unfortunate, you know, during this time, and certainly I paid my part during that for a beautiful family that had three kids, no money, and my wife and I went and bought a whole bunch of gifts and their dinner for them. So it was just a special time this year because I normally do something. When I was in Toronto, for example, I always went to Walmart and picked up hats and gloves and scarves, and I went out on the streets on Christmas Eve, and anybody that was in on the street, and they're certainly in a big city like Toronto, there was many, and I would hand out a set of a hat, a gloves, and a scarf to keep them warm, and because shelters are certainly pressed to the limits during the winter in that city. So that was my part. How was your holiday?
It was great. Real similar. Very blessed to have family locally that we can share continue life and experience with. And it is a blessing because not everybody has that. Not everybody has that throughout the year. And everybody has that during, some remarkable, but as you said, some stressful and can be some challenging times of the year. And the holidays for many can be challenging. And we were blessed to be able to do some of the similar things for people in the community. And it has been terribly, terribly cold here. There have been some loss of life due to the weather here in Portland, Oregon, which is a little unusual from history past. And, so we're, as a city, we're navigating through that but still being thankful for what we have and being thankful to be able to do, what we do. And Chris, for you and I to be doing this together, it's been a privilege. And we're just beginning. And I know that I've said that in the past. We're just warming up. But you know what? Today, this particular podcast marks is quite a momentous mark. It's number 100.
100 in the house.
We've done 100 of these, including this one right here, number 100.
I love it, and I'm really excited about this one. I'm going to squeeze in right here because this is something that someone, quite special, because he mentored us very early in the game, gave us some really good, insight on what to, strive for, and you and I went to work. And anyway, I just wanted to throw that piece in because I'm excited about this show.
I am too, and I'm excited. When we have him on the air, just hear what he has to say about us. We do have edit ability, so I guess there's some things there. No, we really appreciate and respect this individual, both from a business perspective and from a personal perspective. And
for sure.
Yes, he has watched us from the beginning and given us some great advice and some great mentorship. And along with that, some friendship that extends, at least for me and him, back several years. And I know this is kind of a long introduction, but I think it's poignant because this gentleman and I do celebrate a kind of a life-altering experience. And yeah, we'll say it's a... You know, it's a death experience, not a near death experience, but a death experience. And what does that really mean? And how does your life look and grow and progress from something like that? And then what kind of accountabilities in your life present themselves? And so Bill and I have had a chance over the years to be able to share that. And he's done some amazing things. And I am going to toot his horn because I don't think he'll toot it for himself. His staff will, but he won't. But I have the microphone, so here I go.
Let's bring it.
Yeah, Bill has done some amazing things. And I say this in all due respect to him and his bailiwick of talent in his team. But I'm just going to rattle off a couple of his clients. And I think what that's going to say is going to say the kind of caliber of product that he does. And he's they do media production. They're a strategic creative agency to specialize in, get this, message strategy, both for television and web. The entertainment sector, both profit and nonprofit. And here's some of his clients: Adidas, Albertsons, ESPN, Intel, Nike, Mazda, Pixelworks, Tripwire, American Red Cross, Boy Scouts of America. We're just getting started. Lewis Palau Association, the Salvation Army. In the entertainment arena, which is, I think, spectacular because it really affects a whole different mission for people. Alec Baldwin, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bill Cosby, Bill O'Reilly, people like Dick Clark, including Dick Clark, Kenny Chesney, Leanne Rimes, Michael Moore, President Bill Clinton, Suzanne Summers, Toby Mac. This gentleman, Mr. Bill, and we'll hold off on the last name just for a second, is an Emmy-nominated, award-winning film producer. Has had some amazing experiences. Free, full access pass to the White House. There's a lot of stories there. He's done some amazing things. He's also got a book that's coming out here in the next couple of months. And as on the final push to get that done, we'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. But without further ado, Bill Dolan of Spirit Media, welcome to Think Bold, Be Bold, my friend.
Wow. Welcome. Thank you, guys. You humble me with that introduction. It's so great to be here and celebrating 100 episodes.
Right. Bill Dolan is in the house. Welcome, Bill. We really appreciate you taking some time out. We know you're busy. You've got a lot on your plate. And I'm sure based on what we're going to hear today, some of the things that are coming up that you're working on. We always love to start the show, Bill, with, where, things started for you. And, I know that that could go back a little ways. But we know that you have a story that you want to share in terms of what, pivoted in your life and where things started to, maybe make sense. And I believe it's a great story. And I know our audience is going to really love the story. And again, for our audience out there, get your journals out. This is a great time to write out some epiphanies, some ideas, some inspirations, maybe get some motivation, in your lives for, goals, especially starting out the, new year. And Bill, why don't you take us through that story and give us a little background on what you do so the people know, and then what kind of happened and transpired. I know in that pivotal 1999.
Well, it was a pivotal time for me, a major time for me. As you went through the client list and the people over many, many years I've had the blessing to work with, I had started in television. I was crazy fortunate to actually get hired at the local ABC affiliate when I was 20 years old. And while I was still in college, and I got to learn. I mean, it was a killer time for television because so many television stations were developing content for themselves. They didn't just buy it off the shelf the way they do today, or just make news programs. And I really learned from great masters, and we learned through duplication. Somewhere between 79 and 92, I counted it up, and I had done somewhere in the neighborhood of about 10,000 promos and commercials and television shows. So I'd learned a lot, and it became the groundwork for me to launch and really start what is Spirit Media today. From there, I did a lot of work in the entertainment space, and yeah, loved working with the Gwen Stefani's and the Maroon 5's and the Black Eyed Peas of, you know, it was just really fun stuff. And I got to the point where the one thing that's exciting but also dangerous about working in that space is it's kind of heady. You know, you come back home and you say, oh, what'd you do today? And you say, well, I was working with this group, or I traveled here, I did that. And you know, to be really blunt, I was a little full of myself. I thought that, you know, I was a little cocky. And imagine that. Yeah. And I had a project, of which, boy, there's another whole episode about learning how to self-publish and produce documentaries and stuff. So I produced this documentary, of which, by the way, I lost my shirt on. But I had signed a deal with a company in Nashville where they said, look, we're going to write you an advance check, and we want the rights to distribute this and all that. And I thought, wow, this is just great. When you get to do what you love to do and people pay a big bucks to do it, obviously not big enough bucks, but the kind of thing where I thought, this could be the future. So I'm on my way to Nashville with my best buddy, Timothy Greenidge, who's probably one of the greatest gospel artists in the world. And he's sitting next to me, and I'm sitting on the plane thinking, getting ready for the flight. And, you know, there was something that wasn't quite right. I couldn't put my finger on it, but, you know, I was flying all the time. I mean, all the time. But this day, I was a little nauseated. And you know, you guys have flown a lot. And, you know, when you're sitting in the little seat in front of you is that little bag. Emergency bag. And I remember thinking, for the first time in my life, I might have to use the emergency bag. And the more I thought about the, I mean, I'm literally staring at this, and the bag's getting bigger and more ominous. I'm like, no.
Hate it when that happens.
Oh, but I turned to Timothy. I said, Timothy, and we had already taken off. So we were in the air for maybe as much as an hour with me, you know, fixating on the bag. And I turned to Tim. I said, Tim, something's not right. And that's the last thing I said before my eyes rolled back in my head and my arms went limp and my heart stopped. And at first, Tim actually thought I was joking, you know, like the old dead guy on the plane joke kind of thing. And then he realized, no, there's something seriously wrong. And Tim, God bless him, did not know CPR, but he did know how to do chest compressions. He'd seen that. So as he told me, he started doing chest compressions. And supposedly, he did not use mouth-to-mouth, but that's between him and God. And he revived me. He brought me back. Long story short, I ended up in a cardiac wing. And they said, look, you didn't have a heart attack. We can't figure out anything here. But further testing revealed that I was diagnosed with malignant neurocardiogenic syncope, which if anybody's transcribing this.
Yeah,
I am. It's spell that over again. And yeah, I thought I had all the cardiac terms down.
Yeah, it's the traditional spelling of malignant neurocardiogenic syncope. So no, it actually means malignant means you could die from it. And wow. Cardio is heart, brain, neuro is brain, and syncope means out of sync. Mm-hmm. And there is that, you know, our brain can control our heart and can say, yeah, beat faster, beat slower. And long story short is that it's kind of like an adult SIDS in a way, that a mild form of it would be like a fainting episode where, you know, your heart doesn't beat at a rate commensurate to keep all the blood in your brain. But in my case, I have an extreme form where the brain actually tells my heart to stop. And they don't know what causes it. But the only antidote for that is a pacemaker. So they put a pacemaker in me that monitors me every day. And, you know, it's just, it's one of those beautiful reminders every day. It's like a little monument that says, your life is a gift, that life is fragile. And, you know, probably more profound out of the whole episode was that even though by all, you know, people viewing would say, oh my gosh, this guy just died, I remember everything. Because when I closed my eyes, I had a pretty profound experience that changed my life and ultimately thrust me back into this world from the threshold of eternity to this dimension that made me realize we all, the fact that you can get up today and you can take a breath, it's a gift. Mm-hmm. It's a gift. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. But it is not only a precious gift, but it is a reminder that you have a purpose. You have a destiny. You have a role to play this very day. Now, I'm not promised that same breath tomorrow. So today I have an obligation to say, how can I fulfill to the greatest of my ability the destiny I have and the purpose I have to impact this world in a positive way and to celebrate that? And just, it changes you. It just, that in a nutshell began my journey on a very new and different trajectory.
Wow. Great story. And I can totally relate. This is what I said when we've had some things in common, because I've had a very similar experience. I didn't see a light at the end of the tunnel, and I didn't have any angels above me, but I did have some similar experiences when I came back to Earth, so to speak. And Bill, it's right, whether there's a religious, you know, foundation for the listener, or whether there's just a belief in something beyond their own power, there is an ability and a responsibility for each of us to bring our best, kind of a 24-hour business plan, if you want to look at it that way, that, you know, we can't change yesterday and tomorrow we can only plan for, but today we can do. And I honor you for recognizing that and for instilling that in people that that you have influence with, and then using that as a guide for your life.
I love that, Alan, the 24-hour business plan. That's great. That's a book, Alan.
Just making notes.
And that's what happens on this show is, again, these ideas and, you know, inspiration and things sort of pop out from dialogue and stories like that, Bill. You know, after that all happened and you looked at life and reevaluated maybe, you know, what was going on in your life and, you know, all the crazy things that you've done, where did that bring you next?
Well, a lot of reflection. In fact, I can tell you that even though it's been, you know, several years, I'm still processing because the depth and the breadth of an experience like that causes you to reflect probably every day. Sure. And so still processing in a lot of ways, but probably the most profound. And again, this isn't necessarily a religious exercise because not everybody shares a religious orientation, but I will tell you, it's not uncommon that after you've had like a life or death experience that you start looking at religion or looking at philosophy or mm-hmm. whatever it is, you start thinking about big pictures.
Yep.
And what could be beyond, or how do I get understanding? And, you know, I was reading a lot of material and processing. And of course, one of the books that I picked up, as a lot of people do, is the Bible. And I was reading through the Gospels, which is basically the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John part that says this is the story of Jesus' life. Now, you'd think that after having such a profound experience, you'd go, wow, you know, I'm just thinking about, you know, love and caring. And you know, there's obviously beautiful things in there that talk about the quality of life and how we should treat each other. I mean, I didn't miss those. But you know what was kind of crazy is that what jumped off the pages to me was probably the greatest marketing plan in the history of mankind. And I began looking at Jesus as not just maybe for some a savior, for some a wise man, for some a healer, whatever it is, but regardless of who you believe Jesus is, when you studied the history, and by the way, I looked at literature from, you know, Jewish historians, and the Quran obviously writes a lot about Jesus as well. And now there's a lot of archaeology that talks about what kind of environment this person grew up in. I just went, oh my gosh, this easily, based upon results and based upon practice, may very well be the greatest communicator in the history of mankind. Mm-hmm. And so I you know, being a marketer and being, you know, someone in entertainment and television, now I had obviously learned things like, you know, the four P's, product, place, you know, price, promotion, mm-hmm. you know, those are foundations of every ad guy, you know, but I started seeing these principles jump off the page, and I started diagramming them and kind of writing them out and actually put them even in a timeline. And if you think about it, Jesus' ministry, I mean, his very public ministry, was about a 4-year period, which is about what we traditionally used to attach to a classic marketing plan, a 3-to-5-year plan. And I began looking at the steps and how it rolled out and what the principles were. And the bottom line is and it's going to be the subject of the book that's coming out this spring, is the 7 disciplines of relational marketing.
Love it.
Great title.
I love that title. I'm catching up on some notes.
So am I. So if there's some silence in the room, it's
awkward,
just because we're writing.
Awkward silence is actually a good thing. It's probably allowing our audience to catch up as well and process the information that you had shared and where you went, you know, for some inspiration. But amazing reflection, and obviously I can't wait to hear more about the book, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that soon. Alan, what do we have for Mr. Dolan?
I want to hang on a little bit the direction. Bill, what tool, and maybe this is a more of an internal tool, a diagnostic or a you know, some kind of a navigation internally, did you develop from this experience that has guided you and protected you from other people's agendas and from the challenges that can come with fame and fortune, and kept you on the mission track that you have? What's the biggest tool that's done that for you in your pivoted 1999-ish timeframe to now?
Well, I'm not sure it's a necessarily a tool per se. You know, I've been doing a lot of lectures in at colleges and universities, telling people about the 7 disciplines, especially in marketing classes. You know, as they go through, yeah, we've learned product place, you know, and they said, no, let me tell you something deeper. Let me tell you about that. But it's interesting when you talk to people, especially at that age, but I will tell you, people our age, let's say the over 40 set, or much older 40 set.
How about the over 50 set? Let's get real here.
You know, you start
Speak for yourself.
You start talking about what gets you on a path and what keeps you on a path. One of the things I realized, like reflecting on my own path, is that a lot of times we were hungry. Say, please give us a map. I want some map, you know. In fact, I tell the story with the classes about that if you really believe that there's a destiny and a purpose to your life, a lot of us start out with a machete, you know, as if we're cutting through a jungle to the golden clearing of destiny, and we hack away and we hack away and we hack away. And the challenge with that is that there's a lot of people that, one, don't necessarily know what they're hacking through, how to hack through, and then there's stamina and belief issues and all these things kind of stumble us up. You know, once you got tired of trying to, you know, DIY it, you then say, well, gee, is there a map? You know, is there a map that I can use? And once you get a map, you go, okay, I can start hacking away. But you get to these tough intersections of life. And ultimately you realize, boy, the best way for me to really get through this is to find a mentor. And I started hanging out with people like you guys who I felt could give me direction and give me guidance. So I wouldn't call it a tool as I would have called it a method. And one of the things that I learned through just conversing with people was what I would call the three kind of compasses to your destiny. And this is what's helped me because it validates the path I'm on every day. You know, one is passion. Now there are people that say, you know, pursue your passion and you're going to find your destiny. I honestly think that's crap. I think passion is a great guide and it's a great tool, but I don't think it's a destiny definitely thing, because there's another thing I really do believe in, and some people argue with me about this, but I really do believe that all of us are born with certain aptitudes. You know, there's just some people that are, I hate to say it, they're better at math or analytical skills than I am. Mm-mm. There's some people who are more emotionally intelligent. There's some people that are, you know, what, think about the skill set, artistically talented. And you see that from the time you were a kid, you know, they say you can do anything you want. Well, you can try anything you want, but you realize that you actually have some pretty powerful gifts that if you developed them would be great. So if you have a passion without the gift, I call that a hobby. It's not necessarily the end all, but when you have passion combined with aptitude, I think you're starting to get some real direction. And then we get to be about our age. You know, you're over 30, you're over 40. It's interesting. Life has dealt you a number of experiences that start to reinforce not only your passion, your aptitudes, but give you a framework to build on. And I think when you start looking at passion, aptitude, and that experience and preparation, that has helped almost kind of like a radar, have helped remind me who I am, what my gifting is, and what I can potentially bring to the world. And when I start to get off track, like I would call false passions, and I especially say this among young people, because I think deep down, all of us want to be loved. We want to be respected. We want to be honored and, you know, we want to be valuable in this world. And I think sometimes a lot of us pursue things in the pursuit of being loved or the pursuit of being respected that really aren't about real passions. They're about filling voids. And the recognition of a false passion versus a real passion and a real aptitude, I think has kind of helped me get more centered every day. It doesn't mean that there aren't forces out there every day that makes me, like even on the show, gee, I hope I do a good job. Gee, I hope Alan and Chris are happy with the podcast today. I hope I bring value. You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's little Billy Dolan still saying, I want to be loved. I want to be respected. But I realize it's so much bigger. I want to make a difference in this world, as I know you guys do. I want my life to stand for something. I want to know that we've made an impact that changes people for the better and makes our world a better place. And there's enough evidence of how much our world needs that helps keep me on track.
I love that.
Awesome.
Yeah,
just, and I didn't have to write it all down because we're recording this, so I can just look back through my notes. So I'm stopping my fast scribble writing, which I can't read for an hour from now anyway.
I'm just making some arrows to things, and false passions are really the filling the voids, and I love that perspective, mm-hmm. because again, a real passion is making a difference, and what a framework you just provided, even as I get this chill around thinking about the things that I've been endeavoring on as well in my life. You just opened up this new awareness or perspective that I can certainly work on now, and a little bit more to my foundation, to that point, Bill, about taking life and looking at what we've done, especially as I turned into my 40s. So I'm not quite where you guys are in your lives, but did I say that nicely? I tried to put that in my.
We'll talk off mic.
I tried to do that in the boat.
That's very gentle.
The gentlest way I could. I get wisdom from you guys. I love being around you guys for sure. But again, just building on that foundation and realizing, to your point, that there's that passion and then. Again, that belief that I can make a difference in other people's lives with helping them with information, just as you're doing right now, Bill. I mean, the fact of telling this story and letting us know how you've gone from where you thought and processed to where you now think and then share, I think is just amazing. Thank you for that. It just it gave me the chills, I have to say, and hopefully the audience are feeling that same conviction, certainly through Bill's discovery. I can't wait to and if we can, Bill, I know your time is so valuable and the show goes so fast. I love and I'm hanging on everything that you're talking about, because you're just you've got so much wisdom and so much to share. But I do want to talk about the things that are coming in the near future here as well, and really get a good sense of what the seven disciplines and where that's going, and tell me, like, why are you doing this? Because you could do a million different things. Mm-hmm. Why this? What came about, and bring us through that.
Well, as I began, again, reading and studying and seeing these principles jump off the page, it's almost as if I found a key, to a treasure chest. The thing is, it's a key that a lot of people have. Now, again, when you pull something out of what many people call a holy book, you think, well, certainly it's the people of faith that are adhering to this or what. And it was very far from the case. In fact, many people that I see in religious communities and faith communities really weren't practicing this, because as I started laying these principles up almost like a template, like holding it up against the world, it wasn't churches that were doing this, it was actually people like Apple and Lady Gaga that mm-hmm. were really the masters of this craft and really were practicing the seven disciplines. And it just kind of blew me away. And it forced me to, is that once you start seeing this template, this set of principles, the next thing is to say, gosh, I'm going to have to start applying this. And the thing that was exciting is that I realized that the seven disciplines not only helped me apply it to campaigns, marketing campaigns, but actually to almost virtually every project. It's probably worth sharing exactly what they are, without having the time to go into great depth. The seven disciplines, in short, are mission. And understanding mission leads to understanding your markets. Mm. Who are you called to serve? Markets gives you clarity about messages. Messages then are the gateway to understanding who are the best messengers. And there's a lot of stuff there. Oh, one of the great failures is one, probably those three right there, is that I will just say, in fact, it's all four, forgive me. How many people fail to be clear about this whole concept of mission? And then for that reason, fail to have clarity about their markets. I mean, because most people are just like, well, who will buy from me? You know, boom, okay, check, you're on the list. That's not necessarily a great way for defining a market. It's one tool, but there's many. And then what are the messages? And, you know, when we get into the book, it's going to be able to talk about that intersection of what is the secret to actually relational marketing, which is very different than just pitching or selling. It's the idea of knowing that I have a sincere interest in making a difference in these people's lives. And that means I ask questions like, you know, what are their wants? What are their needs, their fears, their frustrations, their objections, their processes, their buying processes? And really understanding that unique way that we can serve them. And in understanding how we can serve them, it also helps us understand how we can connect and communicate with them.
Hey, and Bill, I want to interject here just something really quick, and I want the audience to really make sure that they take notes. You can never, and Bill is saying it right now, you can never know too much about your audience, and it's an ongoing endeavor. So please take notes and put a big red star by this. It's one of the biggest challenges I think anybody in any consulting, coaching industry is that they don't know enough about their audience that they're serving. So anyway, thank you for the interrupt. Let me interrupt you, Bill.
Totally agree. In fact, let me come back to that and let me finish off the seven disciplines and let me tell you a little bit about that. So I said mission and I said markets, messages, and messengers. The others is methods. And in the case of methods, most people think that's marketing because those are tactics. And people say, well, I'm doing social media, or I got a website, or I got a brochure, or I made a video, or whatever. Those are tactics, and those are valuable, but that's not in itself marketing. Marketing is the strategies, which actually comes from the Greek root, which means like general, and tactics is also, I believe it's Greek that actually comes from the roots that means foot soldier. And you don't want your foot soldiers driving the battle plan. You want your generals driving the battle plan and your foot soldiers executing it. And that's the way methods are. And unfortunately, a lot of people do it backwards. You know, they just like drive it and then say, okay, where do we end up? And did we intend to get here? You know, the other principles really after methods is measure. Measuring is critical. And then ultimately is multiply. It's recognizing that everything has to work in harmony. And when you work things in harmony, it's almost like, you know, when I was in grade school, I had a 10-speed bike. And I remember clicking that thing and seeing how by just moving the gear just a tiny bit that I could amplify my effort by changing the gear and how they worked in harmony with each other. And that's what a marketing plan should do. They should have the gear structure so that as you introduce new tactics as a part, they work in harmony and they amplify together on the efforts you do. It's not just an additional thing like, oh, I added this and I added that and do this checkbox. Checkboxes are good, but checkboxes by themselves can be a distraction and cannot be connected. It might not multiply your efforts. Mm-hmm. You know, so
very much so.
So, but let me go back. You make such a great point about relationship because that's why we call it relational marketing, because it really presses us. It presses us to not just sell something, but to have a relationship, because when you have a relationship, it means you genuinely care. It means that you genuinely believe you have something to offer and it believes that you know those people, that you can serve them and honor them, both in relevance and style and structure. And knowing your audience intimately, I mean, really knowing them to the best of your ability, is one of the best and most profound ways to form deep relationships and to make profound impacts on their lives. When I was in school, I studied a lot of sociology and psychology along with all the television production stuff. And I love the definition that sociology and the study of sociology is really about making a small difference on a profound number of people. But psychology is about having a profound impact on a small number of people. And when you look at relational marketing, it opens the door a crack to the possibility of having a profound impact on a large number of people. And that's one of the incredible opportunities we have today through what I call amplified relationships, amplified word of mouth through social media, through podcasts, through vlogs, and all the other tools that we now have that gives us an opportunity like no other time in history to really have a profound impact on millions of lives. And that's what excites me the most about this.
We're done.
Amazing. I love the totem pole effect, if you want. Yeah. And you know, the fact that, you know, it's the mission, it's the root. And layering on upon that with making sure everything is in harmony to that message. Obviously, you know, just great reflection through looking at, you know, your studies. And, you know, I just love this show for that, because I feel like every time we have, you know, a genius like yourself, Bill, explain things that you've learned through your, you know, building of your own companies and what you've observed and everything like that, it just becomes like this opportunity to then take the information, look at what's relevant to how you can go and build your, you know, business. And what great epiphanies come from this. I'm just loving this show. I don't want you to leave.
But, well, let's you know, get together again.
We will.
Let's do round two.
Well, you know what? I really, you know, speaking of that, we've got something we've been working on, and, you know, we're going to have a live show. In fact, it's all around having real questions from our audience. And we're going to do some Facebook and some really cool things, Bill. We'd love to have you back on for this, you know, discussion right here, what you're on right now, you know, these seven disciplines, because let's face it, you know, our show attracts a lot of, you know, entrepreneurs, business people, salespeople, and we're looking for, you know, a framework. And I think that this is one of the greatest frameworks that I've heard in a long, long time. Definitely.
I would totally agree. Well, that's why Bill's on the top, one of the top lists for our mentors. Let's just get that out front now.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, I got to tell you, I mean, I love and respect you guys so much. And I think for your audience and anybody that's listening, and I know more people that'll come, 100 episodes is a monumental breakthrough. You know, and as you and I discussed, I don't know, months ago, it's almost like at 100 is a breakthrough point. And you guys have been producing incredible programs with incredible guests. But to be at 100 sets you guys apart. It not only the quality, but the stamina, but also the structure. You guys have done, I mean, seriously, a brilliant job. And I love the, I mean, you're very gracious about the accolades with me. But, I mean, really kudos to you guys, because you have just built a launching pad for some incredible things.
You're going to make me cry, Bill.
Yeah, you're going to have to kudos that. I mean, I can honestly say that I don't know if that was our intent when we first started, but I think we saw that glimmer on the horizon that this could be a foundational platform, a tool to launch and support a lifetime mission, whatever that mission is going to look like. This foundation can support that, and the people that will, you know, will serve, you know, are going to benefit, because it's not just going to be us. The platform is going to incorporate value well beyond our own circle of influence. And I think we've been trying to build that over this last year. So thank you for that accolade. We can see that progression now. I don't know that we saw it in the beginning, but we definitely see it now.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, just to add to that, we wanted an environment, you know, Bill, and, you know, our audience to have an opportunity to discover, to learn, to apply ideas, gain epiphanies, get inspiration, have motivation, but not have to ask for anything. And it's really our way of giving and then utilizing some great people that we've been able to interview and, you know, bring to life these opportunities for people that may be struggling out there and may not have, let's say, the funds to go and, you know, fly to an event and, you know, put themselves up in a hotel and somewhat maybe sometimes feel a little bit helpless. And I think that the environment that we've created for people to access information, to go and then apply it, you know, to their business, see some growth, and then take those maybe little itty bitty steps, you know, that become great big strides. I think that, you know, Alan, thinking back, was one of our you know, one of our thoughts, not necessarily understanding what the mission was going to be, but, you know, certainly over the last year and getting to this point with 100 episodes, Bill. And thank you for that. Thank you for, you know, making a point of that. We really appreciate your confidence and your support. And certainly, you know, the fact that you've given us, you know, a great testimony. So appreciate that as well. But again, you know, that was the intent and still is, you know, for a lot of people out there. So know that, you know, these little itty bitty steps that you're taking in your life, in your business, in your career, and, you know, if you stack enough of those, you start to see something a little bit different. And I always say that, you know, as you're climbing a mountain, you'll certainly see more of the landscape when you just go a little bit higher and a little bit more. And I know sometimes it's painful, or it can be, but, you know, definitely the view is much nicer when you get to the top. And I think that that's what we're all striving for. So, you know, Bill, thanks for bringing that point up. And thank you for giving us that confidence again. Just gave me chills. We have made 100 episodes, and we would love to put a zero on this at some point in the near future, you know, with what we're working on. So thank you again. And Alan, thank you for working with me, my friend. It's been a lot of fun up until now, for sure.
It's been a real joy. I mean, just to have a mouthpiece is an honor. It's also a responsibility.
You have one.
You said I have a big mouth. Look how fast we tank that very notarial, majestic, you know, Alan, come on, conversation.
I was tearing, man, up at the love fest right to that point.
I tell you, man, it was.
And okay. I had to go and ruin it. There we go. I had to go and ruin it.
No,
it's that adolescent in me, I guess. You know?
Well, when you become, you know, of an elder age like us, where the wisdom kicks in, you'll get that. We're running out of our time slot here. But before we go, Bill, you've got such a plethora of life in you, and I know that you're so willing to share that with those that are really craving it, really want to know. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Well, probably the very best way is to go to the website. It's 7, 7drm.com. It's an acronym for 7 Disciplines of Relational Marketing. From there, again, we're going to be talking about the book publish date, again, which we're shooting for spring of 2017. And then, you know, but we're also going to be publishing some video blogs, some tips. So if you go there and you subscribe, you can connect on YouTube, connect on Facebook, can subscribe and get some free tips. And some of these tools that you're talking about, we're going to start actually publishing some of those for our subscribers, so that it becomes a guidepost. It's, again, it's not intended to be the check sheet as much as it is to be a guide sheet and accountability tool for people to start applying the 7 disciplines in whatever aspect of their life they want to start applying it.
I love that. And I love the I love the simplicity of your .com.
Yeah.
How brilliant. And Bill, thank you so much for coming on. I know we have one last question for you before we go, and I'll jump back on to say goodbye to the audience. But before I did that, I wanted to give you, you know, my big thank you for being here, taking some time out, and for suggesting to come back on. We'd really appreciate that, and we'd love to have a live show with you, and get our audience to pose some great questions, and we'll make sure that obviously that'll be scheduled. You're scheduled, I'm sure, this year based on getting this book out and all the, you know, wonderful things you do for your clients and you serve. But you know, big thank you for me, my friend.
Oh, thank you. I'm seriously, it is an honor to be here with you and especially celebrate this 100 episode anniversary. I mean, it really is special. I mean, even though it's a podcast, in my head, I see a big birthday cake and confetti and, and you know, we did the whole show wearing party hats. So this is good.
Oh, no, you said cake. Now Alan just squirreled. He doesn't even know what he's going to ask you now.
Is it chocolate cake?
It's whatever cake you want, Alan.
Spoken like a true parent. Thanks, Bill. No, it is an honor for us, first off, to be able to have this platform and to have this voice. And it is a privilege for me to be able to work with such a great co-host and a great friend. And Chris, I honor you for that. And Bill, you and I have been friends for a long time, and I honor that above anything we'll ever do in any other sector, you know, above that. You know, our religious walk together has a lot of parallels, and our life together has had a lot of parallels. And I honor that because you're someone that I can relate to without having to say much. And in our circle of experiences, that can be a small circle. But thank you for being on this show. Thank you for your transparency and your honesty in really delivering some, I don't want to say tough information, but some real information. Because at the end of the day, if it's not who you are and it's not part of your DNA, nobody's going to buy it. And I don't mean that literally, but well, maybe literally, but also people will follow people they believe in. And, you know, we're doing our absolute best to have believable people on our show for people to follow. And you are an exemplary, example of that. So thank you so much for being on our show. We would love to have you back on our live show. But before we go, I got one last question I want to ask you.
Ready.
We try to end our shows with this. And you've given such great content so far. But what one thing, what one effort, mission, task, tool would you like to leave our audience with today that they can implement right now as soon as they finish listening to this podcast?
Well, you know, it's hard to say tool as much as I would say fuel. And I would say that I think the fuel, you know, going back to my belief system, that if you guys, whoever's listening to this, if you took a breath today, it's a gift. There's a reason you're here. And I'm sure stirring in everybody's heart is that belief that they are here for a reason, that they've got something to do, that they weren't just born to live or to exist or to sustain themselves, but for greatness and to do great things. And I think the thing that I run up against is a lot of people really struggle with, one, the acceptance of that. And they've heard a lot of messages that, I mean, you think about how we're sold today. Most of us are sold stuff based upon the belief that we're inadequate in some way, mm-hmm. you know, and you need to buy my thing because you're inadequate. Well, I just want to say that you're more than adequate, that I do believe that every one of us is born for greatness. And that, and not to be discouraged, because the thing is life often doesn't happen in the time frame we expect or always the way we expect. And the other day, I know what prompted me, and maybe it's our age, Alan, I started thinking about, you know, timing. And here we are, we're all starting another year again. We're in 2017, and it made me flashback and think about the moon launch. And I don't know why, you think about that. And from the time that John F. Kennedy said, we want to go to the moon, there was an 8-year period. And I really do look at a lot of our lives, and going back to the three things I talked about before, about this convergence of passion and aptitude and experience. To get to that center point, there's a real good chance that you are still building on that experience. You're building on a framework of understanding. Or lack a better term, don't be discouraged, because you may have just been building the launch pad. And it doesn't look like much. It really doesn't. But what was amazing is that the launch pad took 8 years. But after 8 years, there was the launch. From the countdown to 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, they were up in orbit and orbiting the Earth in about 2 hours and I think 40-some minutes before they set the rockets towards the moon. And then they were on their mission for 8 days. And they came back, and the world has never been the same again. Now, if we judge ourselves on, you know, only that launch or only that mission, it can be discouraging. But I just want to let people know, don't be discouraged that right now you're probably building the launch pad right now. You're building a launch pad. And if you continue to be faithful to that and hold for that vision of the greatness that you're called to, I think great things are right around the corner if you just stay with it.
Super.
Amazing.
There's a whole story right there.
Right.
So it's not a tool, but hopefully it's a fuel. It's a fuel of hope and a fuel reminder of the destiny I think all of us have.
That's awesome.
I love that right there. We're going to use that quote. Yeah. Bill Dolan. Thank you, Bill. Thank you to our audience. Thank you, Alan, for hanging out today and making the show what it is. If you have any questions, concerns, or anything like that, or, you know, looking for a guest you'd like to come on the show, go to info@thinkbold.com. Send us an email. Be happy to definitely endeavor on that and answer any of your questions. Again, this show wouldn't be a show without me saying, do something nice for someone today.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.